I move lastly to the confession based on God's tender mercies. Going back now to Psalm 51 and to the verse 1, you will notice here that so much is made in David's mind of God's character that he is a God of mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. He starts out with a plea for mercy. He doesn't say, now, Lord, let's talk this out. Let's see who's good and who's bad. Let me tell you how this happened and try explain it all away. No, he just falls upon the mercy of God. According unto thy loving kindness. That's the God whom we are worshiping. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. And I trust that today that God will, in his grace, come and minister to your heart, wherever you may be, and that this will be a word that will lead you into the truth of the gospel. Psalm 51 is the psalm of confession. You remember David's terrible sin? How he, in daytime, in his palace, lusted after another man's wife and ended up committing adultery. He ended up covering up his sin by the murder of Uriah. And then later, the prophet Nathan came and said to David, thou art the man, you have committed sin. God found him out. He was terribly guilty, terribly burdened with the guilt of his own sin, and soon he was in a state of confession. And here we learn that confession is absolutely necessary. It is the vital aspect of Christian living. Without understanding how to get right with God, there can be no progress in the Christian life. And so stay tuned as we come to Psalm 51. The theme of Psalm 51 is confession and cleansing. And I'm going to preach today that these are twins. These are necessary twins. You cannot be blessed with one without the other. You cannot have confession that will not lead to cleansing. And you cannot have cleansing without, first of all, confessing. That is a biblical absolute. That is a concrete truth in God's word that you cannot smash. It is vital. And I want you to see this as we come to read together here in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon mine altar. And when we commit sin, it's not just we're harming people around us, but we are offending the heart of God and doing this evil in his sight. Now the guilt of it haunted David. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. When you see people walking in a city park, it might be a sunny day, people milling around, and there's some sitting on the bench, others walking leisurely along, and you would think that this is a carefree day with carefree people. Do not believe it. Amongst that people, there will be many that will be plagued with the guilt and the crimes of their own sin. And they will rehearse and rehearse in their own minds the evil that they have done. There are people who turn in at the end of a long, hard day, and you would think that with all the toil of life that they would sweet dreams, but in reality, they have sleepless nights, because as David says here in this third verse, my sin is ever before me. The Bible says that eternity is in the heart of man, for judgment is in the heart of man. A knowledge of God's anger against him, the fear of God and the fear of his fury written on the very brow of God, it haunts, and it haunts all the way to hell for those who do not learn the way of confession and the way of cleansing, that they might be delivered from the burden and the guilt of sin. Oh, the acknowledgement of it. And here is David's confession, and here's the reasons why. Is there not a reason for you to confess sin? How can you possibly walk with God and live for him if you hide iniquity in your heart? You must lay it on the table and say, this is such a burden I can't live with myself. I acknowledge my sin before God. That brings us to the remedy. Confession is based on the remedy for sin. You see, to preach this is not negative. It is not God in judgment, but it is God in mercy dealing with his child. Now, the remedy, of course, is to have our sins blotted out. And if we go back to verse 1, you will see how he gets right to that. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What a wonderful thing to have a clean page, so that those things that are marked against us as deep, dark, dismal, dire evils, that they can be erased and erased forever.
This is the remedy that he pleads to. And of course, that remedy is the washing. The washing, of course, is the blood of Jesus. And at Calvary's cross, Jesus, the Son of God, being infinite God, united in a body that was to be crucified and bleed for our sins, he offered up a sacrifice that blood would wash away and make you clean, as white as snow. That's the power of the cleansing. Now he says here in verse 2, wash me throughly. Throughly means multiple times. And it gives me the visual picture of someone washing a garment and there's a bad stain on it and they plunge it into the tank and they scrub and they rub and they lift it out. It's still there, back in again. And they scrub and they wash, bring it out, and it's still there. And until that garment is clean, they wash and they wash and they wash until the stain is gone. That's the kind of washing that David is praying for. And that's the washing that every sinner needs as we confess our sins and plead for cleansing. Robert Murray McShee, and the Scottish preacher, was famous for praying, "Make me as holy as a saved sinner can possibly be this side of glory." Will you pray that prayer today? Will you ask the Lord to wash you, to make you so clean as it is possible for a saved sinner to be this side of heaven? Take all this filth from my body, my mind, and my soul. Let not even one sin remain. That's the confession. That's the cleansing. That's the remedy that he is pleading for. Now, verse 2, you'll notice that he says, cleanse me, cleanse me. If somebody else gets saved, that's great, great. If a whole nation of people enjoy revival and they are brought to glory, that's great. But if the blood of Jesus doesn't wash me and you, well, Calvary may as well never have happened. The remedy will be lost. And we need that personal cleansing. You'll notice in verse 7 that the remedy is in the blood of the sacrifice. It says here, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And you might say, well, I need a new version of the Bible to understand that kind of language. Let me tell you, a new version of the Bible wouldn't help you. This is Old Testament language. This is the priestly work in the tabernacle where the priest took that basin of blood that was drained from the animal sacrifice, and he took a little shrub, that's the hyssop, a little shrub, and he dipped it into the pail of blood, and he sprinkled it copiously over the mercy seat, that blood would cover over the law and cover over the guilt. And when you are confessing your sin and pleading for cleansing, you are going to the sacrifice, to the blood, and you're asking to be washed as white as snow. And that's what the blood of Jesus can do. We know that the blood of beasts did not cleanse away any sin, but it pointed to the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who by his blood redeems and cleanses and makes us right with God. The full answer for the sin of the human heart is not in anything less than the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need that blood applied. We're talking about application. You're talking about the hyssop, the shrub, dipping the blood, sprinkling it. That's application. That's how it comes into your life. How does that happen? Happens by faith. Faith in his blood. Romans 3:25. That's the gospel. Would you look at that text with me? I would be doing you a disservice if I merely allowed this verse to escape you. I want you to see that it is faith in the blood of Jesus that cleanses you and washes you, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. A propitiation is just simply sacrifice. A sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God through faith in His blood. Mark those words. Put a sticker, put something in your Bible that will allow you to go back to this. If you want to know how the blood gets applied to your life, how your sins get washed away in reality, faith in His blood. And then 1 John 1, 7 and 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through to 9. I want you to see it in your Bible. I want you to see it with your own eyes. 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Confession leads to cleansing. They're twins. If you just confess, but you never get to the cleansing, you're not saved. And you can't enjoy the cleansing if you're not willing to confess your sins. The two go together. They are twins. You need both elements in your life. You need to confess, and you need to seek the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Now let's read on here in 1 John 1, 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, that's pitiful. To think that you have sought confession and cleansing, but you've never really confessed your sin. If you dig in your heels and say, I have no sin. What are you talking about, preacher? What kind of person do you think I am? And if you become irate and angry with the gospel and with God and say, I don't need to hear this kind of stuff. I didn't come to be preached at like this. Then the cleansing cannot be yours. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it goes on even to stronger language in verse 10. So here is the way to have the blood applied. Confession must lead to cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Now, here's the question. Can you give me the assurance that you have called on the Lord to wash you from your sins? The answer is yes. We may take the cup, therefore, and take the bread to remember and to thank the Lord for that work of redemption and sin bearing on the cross and the cleansing that we enjoy. I move lastly to the confession based on God's tender mercies. Going back now to Psalm 51 and to the verse 1, you will notice here that so much is made in David's mind of God's character that He is a God of mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. He starts out with a plea for mercy. He doesn't say, now, Lord, let's talk this out. Let's see who's good and who's bad. Let me tell you how this happened and try to explain it all away. No, he just falls upon the mercy of God. According unto thy loving kindness. That's the God whom we are worshiping. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. You'll see how he turned these as arguments for prayer, reasoning with God on the basis of God's character of mercy, according to your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Lord, this is why I want you to blot out my transgressions. Not because I'm good, not because I'm going to turn over a new leaf, not because I can repent enough, but Lord, you are merciful and infinitely merciful. I know therefore that you will hear my cry of repentance. This is the God who receives the prodigal home, as the father did when he rushed to kiss his son and receive him back when he returned. In verse 14, you will see that David prayed to God as the God of salvation. If he wasn't, there'd be no point in praying. If God was not the God of salvation, if he was a God that only judged sin, that only damned sinners, that only opened up hell for the guilty, if God had no plan of redemption, if he had no covenant of mercy, if there was no way back to God from the dark paths of sin, why would he even come confessing? But he prayed to God as the God of salvation. And that's the God whom I preach today and tell you that this is our God, that he has sent his Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that you may not perish, but that you might have everlasting life. God has a plan of salvation, and out of his heart beats mercy toward you if you will confess your sin and come to him for cleansing. He rested also in the fact that God delights in the broken sinner. Back to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness, contrition, awareness of guilt, this God takes delight in. When he sees true turning and true repentance, God says, it's time. It's time to apply the remedy and to grant the cleansing that this sinner is seeking. And it's out of tender mercy that God demands this confession of sin. It was out of God's tender mercy for David that he sent Nathan and pointed the finger and said, thou art the man, because David needed to be broken, brought to confession, that he might cast himself upon the mercies of God and therefore find the forgiveness of God. If he had lived on in that way, he would have gone on sinking in the hideous nature of a sin. And so God desires to show mercy through our confession. It's like the surgeon when you arrive at the ER and you've got a leg that's infected. Maybe the gangrene has started and it's at a very serious condition. And as the doctor looks at that leg, and he realizes we've got injections to cure this and that, we've got antibiotics, but firstly, we've got to cut out the infection. And that flesh that is never going to heal, that is diseased, corrupted, stinking even, it's got to be cleansed. And then there's the healing. And likewise, in the depths of your heart and soul, if you are to have God's love and fullness of grace flowing in your life, the Lord, as the great physician, cleanses away, purges the evil, that he might apply the balm, the remedy of healing, and bring grace and his power into your life. Look at his delivering power in verse 14. David prayed this, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Deliver me. God delights to deliver. He longs to deliver. And so these are the aspects of biblical confession that lead the burdened soul to know that they then have peace with God. And we have learned that God is gracious to save. He is quick to receive the broken sinner, for God delights in the broken, contrite heart. And this is God's way of restoring and reviving souls. And he's ready to do it today. God has not changed. If you have come to this meeting with a burden of guilt, there's a way back to God. Confession and cleansing. These two twins. If you say today, but I'm not there yet. I don't hate sin enough yet. I don't weep over it enough. Well, then ask the Lord for a broken heart. Would you do that? Would you ask the Lord to give you a broken heart? Would you ask that the Holy Spirit, who would be your Nathan, that he would so speak to you and convince you of your sin that you would break over the pride of sin and turn to the Lord for mercy? He will hear the cry of the broken, contrite heart. He will not despise, we're told, but he will receive and work mercy within you. No one needs to live with a burden of sin. That's the message. No one needs to live under the guilt of sin. We can be cleansed in the blood. This gospel communion service really is for those who are blood-washed saints. If you're not a blood-washed saint, you have no interest in this. You have no part in this. But if you can say today, I am looking to that sacrifice at Calvary. I am looking to the wounds of Jesus and the blood that he poured out as my cleansing. Then take the cup. Let the redness of that cup stir within you faith in the blood. Take the bread. Let it remind you of that body that was broken. That perfect body on whom your sins were laid. And say, thank you, Lord, for being my sin bearer. Let those thoughts fill your heart.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're on the air each day at this time, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., to bring you the message of God's Word, the Gospel, from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Now, here at the Free Presbyterian Church on Sunday mornings, we're looking at a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. We invite you to be a part of these messages as we lead up to the Easter season. As we think of Christ, our Redeemer, hanging on the cross, we want to know, why was he there? For whom did he die? And what did his suffering accomplish? These are the great issues of the gospel. And I invite you to come, bring your family and friends along Sunday mornings, 10:30, to our Sunday services here at the Free Presbyterian Church at 188 Street and 58 Avenue, Cloverdale, here in British Columbia. If you cannot join in person, you can also go to our website. Go to for our webcast, where you can view and listen to our messages on air. So join us Sundays 10:30 for these messages. Also Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. as we continue and finalize our messages on the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at heaven, looking at the glory for God's people. So join us here at the Free Presbyterian Church, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now the website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak.